What we have, when we have a word from God, we must believe it, speak it, and act on it without hesitating, wavering, or doubting. Refuse any thought contrary to the Word of God. Last week, we talked about moving on from the elementary to the mature, into a mature Christian. Today, I want to talk to you about mature faith. Do not waver. Have a no-so revelation faith and stand on it. That's what mature Christians must do. This is faith, very clearly. Getting a clear word from God, believing it, and acting on it without question. It's not just making up your mind you're going to believe something. It's getting a word from God, a scripture, and get it in your heart so you know it came from God and it is God's word to you. And then you believe it and act on it without question. Luke chapter 1 verse 5 says, a certain priest named Zacharias, verse 8, he was serving as priest before God. Verse 9, he burned incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This is a man of God actually serving in the temple. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. You're talking about a distraction. I'd say that'd be a distraction. You go to church and an angel shows up and starts talking to you. In verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now this couple is very old. They feel like they're way past the childbearing age. This angel shows up and says, you've been praying since you're a young couple for a baby, and now you're going to get it while you are older. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. You see, this is a promise about the birth of John the Baptist, the one that's prophesied that would prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so this really is great news, almost unbelievable news. Verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now notice he didn't call her an old woman. He said, I'm an old man, but she is advanced. So he's a smart guy. Can you say amen? You see, God heard his prayer, but Zacharias did not believe the answer he received. He said, I'm too old. You know, that's very dangerous. Amen. When the Lord speaks to you to say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too dumb, I'm too whatever. No, if God gives you a word, you need to say, I need to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, enables me. Can you say amen? Amen. When you hear from God, do not say anything but, yes, okay, I will. No matter how difficult or impossible it may appear. And the angel answered and said to him, look at this. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Verse 20, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words. You see, God takes this believing thing very seriously. This angel, I mean, he rebuked the priest and he said, I am Gabriel, an angel that stands in the presence of God. And you can't just ignore what I say. Amen. You must believe it. And because you haven't believed it, you're not going to be able to talk for months. Doubting God and his word is far more serious than we think. Amen. Amen. You see, we must believe the word we hear, even though it is totally impossible. That's impossible. Doesn't matter if it's impossible. Why? All things are possible with God. Amen. Once you get a word on it, God can and will do it. You see, God gives us a word so we will have the faith to act. Very often he's not just giving us a word to challenge us. You see, when God called me and Dottie to come and start this church, And I really knew it was God. He gave me faith to come because I knew if God had called me, God would take care of it. Amen. So a word from God can build your faith and enable you to do things you could never do. Believe and act on the word and believe that God's going to give you an additional word before you leave here today. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. In verse 16 it says, tomorrow go down against them. The opposing army is too large for them to defeat. It is an impossible circumstance. And I'm getting to where I love those impossible circumstances because it gives God a chance to show up and work a miracle. Can you say amen? So, God, deliver me from all of these problems. I don't want any more problems. If you do not have problems, you'll never have a testimony. If you never get attacked by a demon, you're not going to have anything good to share about God's deliverance. Can you say amen? If you never get a bad doctor's report, you're not going to have a testimony how God healed you. It's a part of living, but we face it with faith, and we don't let any bad report shake us up. We just stand on the promise. And if we do get shaken up, we get in the Word of God until we get peace and get a word from God. Amen. I'm just telling you how mature Christians live. Amen. When they got there, when they got down to this site, you see, the opposing army was too big, so... So you might say, how in the world can they believe they're going to beat them? Because they had a word. God gave them a word to build their faith. When God gives you a word, it builds your faith. You see, they had a word from God. This is faith, getting a clear word from God, believing it and acting on it. Faith without action is dead. That's what the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. If it's real faith, there's going to be something in you driving you to do it. When they got there, when they got down to the enemy's camp, the enemy had fought and killed each other, and all they had to do was carry off all their gold and valuables. Can you say amen? Why? They had a word from God. This is not your battle. I'm going to fight for you. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, when you get a word and you hear God say, I've got it, no, he's got it. And, boy, over the years and even recently, you know, if I'm facing something that's a real challenge to me, I pray until I hear a word from God. And very often when I face a new challenge, as you've heard me say, I don't have a lick of faith. You know, I just have to believe and pray until God speaks to me. And even recently, I was praying about something, and I heard him say, I got it. It's going to be okay. And it worked out perfectly. But I believed it. Now, I've been living this way so long that when I hear a word like that, I recognize that voice, and I believe it, and I know everything's going to be okay. That's a good way to live. I mean, living in fear and doubt, unbelief all the time can shorten your life. You know, living with worry riding on both shoulders can really weight you down. Learn to put your faith in God. There's a scripture I read not too long ago to the whole church. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When we keep our mind stayed on him and his holy and inerrant word, it helps us to stay in peace and helps us to be healthier. Acts chapter 11, verse 7. And I heard a voice saying to me, I've used some of these scriptures. Of course, there's only so many scriptures in the Bible. But I want to show you something here in these scriptures. And I heard a voice saying to me, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. He said, I've been a good Jew. I have not eaten any unclean thing. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you shall not call common. Now, this is Peter. You know, he has gone to the Gentiles, Cornelius' household, preached the gospel. They got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water. Peter took him into the church, and the apostles in Jerusalem called him in, said, "What are you doing? You know, we can't have anything to do with the Gentiles. We're Jews." And Peter's telling them this story. And listen to what he says. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." God was telling him, "I'm bringing the Gentiles into the church, and I'm going to cleanse them and set them apart from the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like I've done for you Jews. And from now on, you're not to call Gentiles common." How many of you Gentiles glad that's in the Bible? Probably everyone in this room, including me, is not Jewish. Gentiles. At that very moment, now this is Peter telling the story, he says, at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea, Cornelius, the Roman, in our terminology, Roman general, a centurion, had sent these three men to get Peter to come back and preach the gospel to them, because an angel told him to send those men. Peter did not know what was at that door. He just knew he was told to go with them. Verse 12, Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. When Peter opened the door, there stood Gentiles. Legally, as Jews, he could not go with them. But God had given him a word. See, God works on both ends. He told Cornelius how to find salvation by sending for Peter. And then he had Peter prepared to preach to the Gentiles. But in order to do that, he gave both of them a word. And Peter's word was, "Don't you call Gentiles common." Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? How could he have faith to go with them without doubting when he knew he was doing something that was illegal for Jews to do? Because he had a word. When you get a word, you must step out in faith and go doubting nothing. Amen. And that's how Dottie and I got here. God called us to come. It's impossible. We didn't have the money to do it. Didn't have any way to do it. Had a small baby to feed. And you know how preachers are. They don't know how to do anything except yell at people. And God said, "Come." And I prayed until I knew by shadow of a doubt it was God. And then we had to load the U-Haul. Amen. Can you say amen? That's the way it works. And that's the way it worked with Peter. Peter had a clear word. This word gave Peter courage. So he went, and God saved the Gentiles, Cornelius' whole household, and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized in water as Christians. And Peter says, "Look, guys, I didn't have any choice in it. The Holy Spirit said, go. Doubting nothing, and I went, and God brought them into church. I wasn't the one to do it. God was the one doing it." And they said, "Okay." But Peter was acting on a word. Do you see that? And Jehoshaphat and his people, they didn't just go down there expecting a miracle. They had a word from God. So you pray and you get a word from God. You know you've heard from God, and then you act on it. Can you say amen? This word gave Peter courage, so he went, and God saved the Gentiles and brought them into the church. God called me to preach when I was 12 years old. He tricked me. I thought I was just laying in bed thinking one night. And this thought came to me, "Would you be a preacher?" I said, "Oh, I don't think so. That don't sound good." And then that voice, that thought came again. "But if God wanted you to be a preacher, would you do it?" I said, "Man, I can't think of anything worse than that. I do not want to do that." And then it came a third time, and this time it was strong. I thought it was just me thinking. I didn't know anything about hearing from God. And this voice says, but if God really, really, really wanted you to preach, would you do it? And I said, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I could have said no. And all young people do say no to God. Some of you may have said no to God in something. I recommend you go back and say yes as soon as you can. Okay. You say, well, it's too late now. I've messed everything up. Well, God's got another plan, and this one may even be better. Believe God. Can you say amen? Ask God for a word, and this time do it. Okay. And I didn't know what I'd done. I thought I was just thinking, but it was God. That was a rhema no so word from God. And it got in me. And I took a year off for bad behavior and did some things I shouldn't have been doing. Rededicated my life at 15 and was filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God came all over me. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I was called to preach. And I said, how do I know this? And I remembered when I was 12 years old, God got in bed with me. He said, amen. If God really, really, really wanted you to be a preacher, would you do it? That thing got in me, and it's still there. And it's a word from God, and I'm still preaching. And I intend to preach as long as I can. Can you say amen? Okay. And no matter what, I'm going to keep going, keep preaching. It's in me. It's a word from God. It's a revelation from God. It's more than something up here. It's something in here. I know that I know that I know in my knower. Listen, you can get a word like that from God that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're in the right career, right place, right everything, right job, ministry, whatever. And you can know that you know that you know that God put you there. And you can go do it in faith, knowing that God is going to make it happen one way or the other. Can you say amen? But you got to get that word in you. You just can't make up stuff and say, I'm going to believe God. You got to have something to believe. I've got something to believe. It's in me. It's a call to preach. It's been there almost my whole life. You see, we're not going to receive a promise unless we believe it. And that's hard for some people to understand, but that's what the Bible says. Let me read it to you. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What does that say? It says, if you ask for wisdom, you'll get it. Do you understand? If you have wisdom and you make wise decisions, you'll prosper in everything you do. See, knowledge is one thing, but the ability to use that knowledge to be productive is wisdom. There's a lot of educated people that have absolutely no wisdom. And God has really gifted me with wisdom that I make good decisions. And it's been that way my whole life. When you make good decisions, you prosper. Can you say amen? And that is a wonderful promise. But look at verse 6. There's a but there. But let him ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you're not going to get wisdom. Oh, how can you say that? Because I'm reading it. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth or doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think, or woman think, that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. You must ask in faith, believing. You say, preacher, how do I do that? You get a revelation, no so word from God. That's how. Do you know you're doing what God calls you to do? Well, I just stumbled into this business, and I don't know how I got here. Well, that still could be God. Because sometimes he'll grab you by the hair of the head, assuming you have hair, and just pick you up and put you right where he wants you. You don't hardly even know how you got there, but you know you're in the right place because it's in here. If you're in the right place, don't let anybody ever try to scare you off. Say, God put me here and I'm staying here. The devil will tell you, well, this career doesn't seem to be producing very much. And you say, look, devil, I know I'm where God's put me, and I'm going to trust God to prosper me. And I'm not going to put my faith in people. I'm not going to put my faith in things. I'm not going to put my faith in certain jobs or careers. My faith is in God. God put me here, and God's going to bless me here, or he'll move me. Come on. We are not going to receive the promise if we waver in doubt. The word for faith there is P-I-S-T-I-S in the Greek, pistis. It means faith. It means moral convictions. It means a no-so assurance, an evidence. It's not just something you believe up here. It's something that gets in here. I'm a preacher, not because I went to seminary, not because I have an earned doctorate. I'm a preacher because God called me, and that thing, that word is in me right now and has been there my whole life, just about my whole life, from 12 years old. Now I'm 110, so how long has that been? Faith comes from the Spirit bearing witness with our spirits. That's probably one of the most important things you'll ever hear in your life. When His Spirit touches your spirit, it's a revelation, no so. People say, well, I feel saved. I feel healed. I feel delivered. Listen, it's not feeling with your five senses or your fingertips. It's beyond feeling. When His Spirit touches your spirit, it's a no-so revelation. That night laying there in the bed at 12 years old, I had a no-so revelation from God. Didn't even know what it was. But I had a no-so revelation from God that has been there from that day to this, that I am called to preach the gospel, period. And I'm probably the most unlikely one, you know. Some of my family members heard I'd gotten saved, they said, "Who, Barry, are you kidding?" They thought I was going to sit in jail. Can you say amen? Amen. And I was certainly the most unlikely one in the whole family to be called to preach, but here I am. Can you say amen? And I know that I know that I know. It's not in my head. It's there too, but it's here. Get you a word. Why do I do that? Join me in my time of praying and fasting and seeking God. Get in the Word of God. Don't miss a single service. Hear every sermon that God gives me, because God has given me some real stuff. You say, well, I've heard it before. Well, have you really heard it before? If you've really heard it before, why aren't you doing it? Okay. It's not how many times you've heard it. It's, are you doing it? And me too, I can preach this, but I can slip up and not do it. Can you say amen? Faith means a moral conviction, a no-so revelation, assurance that only the Holy Spirit can drop into your heart. Very often He uses a scripture. When He called me to preach at 12 years old, He didn't use any scriptures. He just asked me for a commitment, and I gave it to Him and didn't even know what I was doing. But I meant it. If that's what God wanted, I was willing. Diakrino, the word for doubt or wavering, it means wavering, hesitating, doubting, and that is our enemy. Wavering, hesitating, vacillating up and down, that's your enemy. Get a word of God and know it and stick right on it. If you call to preach and somebody don't like it, that's okay, you keep preaching anyway. Just pray, well, God, give me something to preach that people like, maybe. If they don't like it, I'm preaching anyway. And a lot of things I preach, somebody may not like some of it. Man, listen, my mama told me as a kid, she put green beans on the table, and she says, eat your green beans. I don't like green beans. She says, you need green beans, you eat them. And sometimes what the preacher's preaching, you need it. Can you say amen, whether you like it or not? And I'm guaranteeing you need this one. You need to get before God, get in the Word of God until His Spirit quickens something to you in here so that you know it. Amen. How many pray I don't knock myself out up here? I'm pretty tough. Work out pretty hard. Still don't need to beat myself up. Verse 8, it says, a double-minded man, a double-minded woman is unstable in all of his or her ways. That word is dipsukos. In Greek means double-minded, vacillating, two-spirited, thinking two different things at the same time. How can you think I'm healed and made whole and turn around and believe I'm sick and dying? That's double-minded. Which is it? With His stripes I'm healed, or am I dying? Which is it? You got to pick one. And what comes out of your mouth has a great deal to do with what you believe. If you keep saying, I'm sick and I'm hurting and I'm dying, that's going to get in your spirit, and that alone can really make you in bad shape, put you in bad shape. But when your mind hears your mouth saying, and your heart hears your mouth saying, with his stripes I'm healed, that builds your faith. What comes out of your mouth is important. You know, even secular teachers know that. My first grade teacher told me that. I don't know what she was. She's just a mean woman. But she was a good teacher. She asked me to do something. I said, I can't. She said, boy, don't you ever say can't. If you say can't, then you can't. But if you say can, then you can. Thank God for good teachers we used to have. Can you say? Amen. And pray that God will give us more teachers like that, that would teach kids to be positive. Go around feeling sorry for yourself, a victim. No. I can. I can do all things through Christ. Nobody can hold me down or shut me down. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If I get in the Word, get me a no-so revelation Word and stand on it, nobody can stop me. That's what the Bible teaches. Choose to believe God's Word. You see, we cannot believe the Word and doubt it at the same time. Vacation Bible School, I believe it was 2014. We got a word on Friday night that we had no buses. And Vacation Bible School started on Monday. That's bad news. And it was not our fault. The bus people got it all mixed up, and they didn't have our buses ready and didn't have the drivers ready. And we needed 19, if I remember correctly. Well, that's a lot of buses. And very few companies around here own 19. They have to borrow them from each other. Right. And then they have to find 19 drivers that can spend the whole week driving. In June, with a lot of people on vacation. And it's all but impossible to do when you start planning in February. But when you get down to Friday night, and the Vacation Bible starts on Monday, that's totally impossible. In the real world, that's not going to happen. Can you say amen? If you've done that as long as we have, and I have, you know, that doesn't happen. I had an inner peace. I prayed and God gave me an inner peace that God was going to fix this. And beyond that, I also knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, God called us to do it. And God doesn't call you to do something and make it impossible so you can't do it. He'll fix it. Can you say amen? Amen? I had a word and I would not waver. I did not vacillate. It was Friday night. We had a meeting scheduled for Saturday morning to train the teachers and train the bus workers and set up all the routes. We'd already had the kids signed up. Now we just need to get everybody organized to know what to do. We came in. We got everybody trained, everybody ready to go. Everybody was so excited about Vacation Bible School. And me and one other person knew we did not have one bus. Totally impossible. And we had everybody ready to go. We went ahead with the Saturday morning meeting. Had everything totally ready. And knowing it is impossible. Except a word. In here. That's the way mature Christians learn to operate. Nothing special about me. I've just learned a few things. You say, amen. See, knowing we had no buses, we got everything set up. We had kids enrolled in Vacation Bible School all over Knoxville. And I think the total enrollment that year was over 2,000. All those kids standing out there getting ready. It was Saturday when we planned everything. They were the parents getting them all ready. Mom was getting them ready to go on Monday. All excited about Vacation Bible School. And we're not coming. Unless God honors his word. Can you say amen? But we got those buses by faith. We got a name on Friday night of a new bus owner that we'd never used before. And he could only come Saturday afternoon. And we didn't know what he was going to say. Except God. I knew somehow. So we met Saturday evening, and he came in. And this man lined up 19 buses and 19 drivers on Sunday. I'm telling you right now, that in the real world is impossible. And we did that for about 30 years. I'm telling you, you don't do that. By Monday, they were all ready to go. And we had one of the biggest, best vacation Bible schools we ever had. And that was impossible. You know what the owner told me personally? He said, I feel convicted by God to do this. And if I don't do it, he said, I believe that God is not going to bless me. I have to do it. Amen. While God was working on our end, he was working on his end.
That's right.
Can you say amen? Amen? That's what faith is. It's a no-so revelation, and you do not vacillate. You don't go up and down. You say, God, you told me I'm standing right here. Unlike Peter walking through the storm on the water, when you see the lightning come down, you feel the wind about to blow you away, and waves are coming up all over you and splashing your faith. You say, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. The Lord told me to come. God told me to go. God told me to do this, and I'm going. Can you say amen? That's faith. But you don't just make that up. You just don't start naming and claiming. You get a word. You know that God called you. I know that God called me to preach. I know he's called me to Knoxville. I tried to leave. I got mad at some of you people. So I'm getting out of here. Actually, it wasn't that at all. It was just I just felt like I wasn't doing a good job. I said, I'm quitting. I'm getting out of here. These people deserve a better pasture than me. I did everything I could to leave, and God stopped me, cold in my tracks. And I was trying to find somebody else to come pastor this church. This was years and years and years ago. I realized after that, this is a death sentence. I'm not getting out of here alive. But I couldn't find anybody. It was a pretty good church, a great location, worth a lot of money. And nobody even looked at the thing. No pastor would even consider it. I landed on the bed one day. I said, God, is there anybody can pastor this church? And I heard a voice say, yes. I said, well, who is it? And there was a hesitation. And then he said, you. I knew it all the time because it was in his head. But you can get frustrated and throw away your confidence. Don't do that. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. Say he gives us the victory. I said, say he gives us the victory. Hey, say it like you mean it. One more time, this time mean it. You believe that? But you got to stand in the storm. You can't run off. You got to endure. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. God will somehow bring the buses. He will somehow bring the people. He will somehow work it out. He will provide the money. Can you say amen? Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand firmly on God's promises and on his word. Say, he will give us the victory, but we cannot vacillate, hesitate, waver up and down. Doubting must stop. Amen. Do not be double-minded. Do not vacillate. Do not hesitate, but believe the word. And I'm telling that to me. I tell myself that all the time. We have to make up our mind. We're standing in faith on the promises of God. If we stay focused, we can receive our promised land. Romans chapter 4, verse 18, for Abraham. Abraham is the Bible example of faith. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped on in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So normally shall your descendants be. You see, when he had no reason to believe, he believed anyway. when I had no reason to believe we could get buses. I believed anyway. But what was I believing? A word, a promise, a call of God to do vacation Bible school, a peace that he was going to work it out. Why did Abraham stand in faith? He had a word. Hezekiah had a, Zacharias had a word. Can you say amen? Amen. Jehoshaphat had a word. Paul had a word. Amen. I had a word. Abraham had a word. And here it is. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped on in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. Here again, all of these men and women of the Bible were operating off a promise. Amen. You say amen. A word from God. Amen. Call it what you want, but a direction from heaven, a no-so revelation. As he had been promised, and it tells you what the promise was. So numberless shall your descendants be. You say, well, how do you act in faith on that? He changed his name. Amen. From Abram to Abraham. Every time he introduced himself to anyone, he said, I'm the father of many nations. And he and Sarah, and the promise was to those two. The man and his wife. Amen. Read the Bible, that's what he says. And the promises of them. And so he's telling everybody, I'm the father of many nations. And all of his neighbors had to be just scratching their head. What is wrong with him? They don't even have, he's 100 years old and they don't even have one baby. What was wrong with him? Wasn't anything wrong with him. He had a word. And sometimes, boy, when you get a word from God, people think, you're crazy. You know, you're crazy. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. You see, Abraham did not waver when he considered the circumstances because he was focused on the promise. People say, well, don't even consider the circumstances. Don't even admit you have a sickness or have a problem. No, you can consider the circumstances. You just need, you must believe the word of God instead of the circumstances. That's the difference. I'm not going to tell you if I'm sick. I'm not going to tell you I'm not sick. I'm going to tell you whether it's stripes I'm healed because I'm focused on the word and not the way I feel. I want to tell you the truth. Before the first service, I couldn't talk. I lost my voice back there. I was fighting demons and devils like nothing you've ever seen. And buddy, I got the victory back there and came out and preached loud and noisy the first service. And I'm doing the same thing this time to tell the devil, you're not shutting me down. I mean, he will come against you, and you got to have enough faith to know that God called you, and you go do it anyway. He said, amen. You see, when we have a promise from God, we can't allow unbelief and distrust to cause us to doubtingly question the word of God. This is the way mature Christians are required to live. You lock the radar of your faith onto the word God has given you, and you focus right on that word. Peter had a word, come, walking on the water. He was focused on the word. He got out of the boat. But when the water splashed in his face and he saw the storm all around him, he got focused on the problem and began to sink. The radar of your faith must fix right on the word of God and stay there. It's like a missile aimed at an enemy airplane. That missile is guided by radar. And once that radar gets focused on that plane, that thing is going to, that missile is going to take that plane out. Can you say amen? Because that radar will not go to the left or the right. It hangs right on to that plane until it gets it. Your faith, your radar faith must hang right on to the word of God until you have it in hand. Amen. I'm not telling you all I know, but I'm telling you some good stuff. Going to always hold back a little, so you'll need me next week. Can you say amen? Once we have a rhema word, listen, it doesn't mean how many, it doesn't matter how many times you heard this. It's how many times have you done it. Once we have a radar word, there can be no vacillating, hesitating, wavering, or doubting. We stay focused. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession. Listen, if there's something in your life you know it's not pleasing to God, some rebellion, you're doing your own thing instead of obeying God, you need to repent and get that right now. Then you believe God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold fast that hope, that word, that know so. God called me. I'm called to preach. I'm called to Vacation Bible School. I'm called to get healed and go do God's work. Stay focused on those scriptures and those words. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. With his stripes I'm healed without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We must watch every word we say. Focus on the promises of God and confess them without allowing a negative thought and without saying a negative word. I don't care how I feel. I'll never tell anybody, well, I feel terrible and I'm sick. The only reason to say that is to get sympathy. And I'd rather be healed than get sympathy. So I say, with his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not lying. With his stripes, the word says that with his stripes, I'm healed. And I stay focused right there until I'm healed. That's what faith is. You see, we're talking about mature faith, maturity, standing in faith and believing God, not wishy-washy like a bunch of crybabies. That's what this sermon's about last week, moving from the elementary to the maturity stage in life. Numbers 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Don't you look at this. And said, I'm showing you something here. Basically, every one of these people had a no-so word, and they confessed it, and they believed it, and they stood on it, and God did it. Look. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I want you to say that with me. We are well able to overcome it. Can you say amen? Say it again. We are well able to overcome it. Say it again. We're well able to overcome it. No matter what it is, with God and his word, we're able. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him, with Caleb, said, the other spies, there was two spies that believed God, Caleb and Joshua, the other 10 did not. The men that went up with him, verse 31, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. The devil will always do that. He'll bring up an evil report. So, oh, you're going to die this time. Well, you made it last time. You made some bad decisions and God got you out of it. But not this time. You're going down this time. Evil report. You going to believe the evil report? How many of y'all been listening to some of the songs you've been singing? You know, we don't listen to the evil report. Because it's coming from the devil. Like I said, if you've got sin in your life and you're causing a problem, repent, make it right. Why did Caleb believe they could take the land? Because he believed the word of the Lord. And the Lord has said, I have given you this land. He believed God's promise. That's why he believed that he was well able to do it and that they were well able to do it. Because God had told them they could do it. But did they do it? No, they didn't. Even though God had told them, I've given it to you, did they get it? No, they didn't. There's too many preaching, well, everything's fixed. You have no say in it. But buddy, they had a say in it and they missed the promised land. You can believe anything you want to believe, but I'm here to tell you I'm going to believe the word of God. The other spies did not believe God's word, but focused on the negative. They saw the walled cities. They saw the armed soldiers and guards. They saw all the armor. And they saw these walled cities that were impossible to take down. And they fell apart. We can't do it. But their kids did it. Those walls fell down. Well, that's impossible. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you hear a word from God and obey it, the impossible takes place. Do not allow negative friends. See, always negative. Be friendly, be nice, but don't make them your best friends because they'll pull you down. Surround yourself with people who believe God's every word. Somebody say amen. Well, I'm trying to help them. Well, you're going to be the one that gets pulled down because that's normally the way it works. It's okay to encourage people, pray for people. I do it all the time. But I don't hang out with people. It's always negative. Well, this is impossible. That's impossible. You know, the United States is lost. You know, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for America until God saves the thing. Can you say amen? I have a word that says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians which you see today shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. You devil, you look out, man. We're saving this country. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Out, devil. So things look really bad. Well, quit looking at the really bad and focus on the word of God. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Get you, well, I don't have that word. But get it. Get you one. It's a word. And it can live in you. Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They should have been rejoicing on that because they had the same promise that Caleb had. They had the same promise that Joshua had. You have the same promises that I have. And I'm sure not setting myself up as no example because I need the mercy of God all the time. Amen. But this does work when you work it. Verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Says, we've had enough of this fallen God. We're going to go back to Egypt. They had to be smarter than that because if they went back, Pharaoh would have killed every one of them. So God was kind to them, just let them die off in the wilderness. And then he took her kids in. Do you want your kids to get the promises or do you want to get them too? You see, they wavered, hesitated, doubted, and missed the promise of God just like many Christians do today. The only way we're going to make it in this evil day that we're in right now, and we're in a really evil day, is by faith in Jesus Christ and his eternal inerrant word. If you want to make it, that's where you got to make it. Foolishness is in the past. We're going to make up our mind. We're going to make it through this dark generation, this evil day. We're going to have to believe God. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. There it is. Read that with me. Do, 1, 2, 3. Do not throw away your confidence. Come on. Do not throw away your faith. Come on. Do not throw away your promise. Confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. See, he's talking about not casting away your promise. You endure and stand in faith until the buses show up. Yay. Without faith, we're not going to receive the promise. The children of Israel threw away their faith when they saw the giants and they died in the wilderness. Even though they had a promise, they had that land. Well, everything's fixed. No, God expects us to be a doer of the word. And people say, well, God's sovereign. Well, his word is sovereign. And what I'm reading to you is sovereign. Can you say amen? Was Jesus still sovereign when he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you? Sure he was, and his word's sovereign. And if I really believe him, I can be blessed. But I have to believe the word of God. I have to believe in him for salvation. I can't even get to heaven without faith. I have to believe him to take me to heaven. Can you say amen? And to forgive my sins and wash me in his blood. That's all by faith. If faith doesn't work, we're all going to hell. Amen. This preaching is pretty good. It's a lot better than your amening. Can I have one big amen?
Amen.
Ooh, that's pretty good. I never expected to be quite that good. And you understand, I'm not bragging or complaining. I'm just telling you what the Word says, and I'm telling you how it's worked in my life when I worked it. I'm leaving out all the times when I cried like a baby. Okay, that's for another day. Could you say amen? But even then, He'll rescue you, just like He rescued Peter out of that sea when he's sinking. Amen. You just call on Him and believe Him. If we want to receive God's promises, we must stand in unwavering faith.